Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you're doing well, starting your day and starting it with prayer, starting with some time with the Lord, and glad you could join me. This week, if you haven't had a chance to join us, we've been looking at some of the end time plan that the Word of God unfolds for us in the Catechism, the words of Jesus and the apostles about what the final battle is going to look like and what are the key elements that we are called to pay attention to. And in particular, we began Monday with the words of Jesus from Mark 13, one of the letters that address the Olivet Discourse, which Mark in chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, all record what Jesus had to say about the destruction of the temple, but also elements that are going to be present at the end times. And he's exhorting the apostles, and he continues to exhort us through his living word, through the teaching of the church, to stay awake, to be alert, to be watchful. And above all else, the most consistent thing he said is, don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. Be careful. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. Now here's Peter just echoing the same exhortation that Jesus gave. The Antichrist is going to be at work in the earth, Paul tells us. We know the satanic power is already present. His demons are deployed. Huge deceptions are happening in our time. People are being deceived. There is a kind of apostasy happening. I don't know if it's the final one, but the collapse of the church throughout the West in particular, the collapse of Christendom, it's shocking the level at which people have turned away from the Lord and refused to pass the faith on to their children. So we're living in what might be like a kind of dress rehearsal of what's coming, because one of the signs that Jesus spoke about and that the apostles reminded us of is the apostasy, the great falling away, and the Catechism takes it up. Yesterday, we took the section from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2 in particular, where he describes the rise of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, and what are the elements behind it. I'll just give a little bit of a summary. And then I want to take a look at the paragraphs from the Catechism, some of them, that really help give us the Catholic mind about the events that Jesus spoke about and the apostles spoke about, because if you follow this at all, you'll understand that across the Christian community, there's a wide perspective on understanding. Maybe there's five or six primary ways of looking at the end times that are out there. And the Catholic Church has a particular perspective on all of those. And most of it is expressed in the Catechism. And it's very helpful to see and understand. We're called by Jesus to watch and wait, to be alert. He said, be careful. Be ready to read the signs. There will be signs that appear. There will be events that appear, and they will point to the final events that are going to come. So we're supposed to remain in a posture of alertness, being awake. And again, as I was saying with Peter, as he began to say, be careful. The devil's a roaring lion prowling around seeking someone to devour. Resist him and he will flee. If you're baptized into Christ, you've got power. You've got the sacraments, the word of God. You've got the prayers of the church. You've got the prayers of the saints. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're in the family of God. You've got all you need to be alert, to be awake, to drive away the strategies of the enemy, to walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God in joy, and to be able to read what the church teaches in the scripture without getting discouraged by it. It's very rare that these things that we're talking about are addressed in homilies, even in the church, or even in theological formation classes, unless you take something specifically on this. Even though this was a big theme in the scriptures, in the life of the apostles, not only in the teaching of Jesus, but the life of the apostles. A lot of people don't want to talk about it because they think it's bad news or it scares them or they don't want to do this, and even can come to the point of saying, well, this is really not something we need to address. It's not accepted by some of the teachers in the church. They think it's hyperbole, and it scares people, and it doesn't really communicate the love of Jesus. People get all wrapped up and confused in silly ways of thinking like that, and that's the kind of deception that Jesus is talking about. Friends, there is not a word that Jesus spoke to us. Every word Jesus spoke to us is a word given to us in love. He spoke the truth. He is the truth. He lived the truth. There's no love without the truth, and there's no truth without love, and it was all incarnate in the person of Jesus, who is the one who came from the Father, who knows it all. And he spoke the truth to us, and it continues to come to us in God's word and in the teaching of the church. So again, just some key themes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, for example. The passage describes the final shaking that's going to come, what's going to unfold. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, when the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. Again, it's going to be revealed on that day, the apostasy that's going to accompany it, the falling away from the faith and the tribulation. There's going to be a great trial that's going to be ushered in by the Antichrist, and the Christian people are going to be persecuted intensely. There will be this battle, but none of that will unfold until the Antichrist emerges and this evil plan of Satan, his final attack on the church, is being restrained, the passage said. It's being held back. We don't know who the restrainer is. Is it God the Father? Is it the church itself? Is it the prayers of the saints? It's some of it that refers to the temple, ultimate destruction, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. It's the Romans who were kind of holding back, and the restrainer, eventually Rome brought it down. But the words of Jesus was both applied to what was happening, was going to happen to the Jewish people, was going to happen to the temple, but also it leads us into the final battle. There's types, and then there's the ultimate final battle. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And St. Michael the Archangel may be the restrainer. I've heard priests say St. Joseph is the restrainer. We don't know for sure. But here's key things Paul doesn't want us to forget. Those events are going to happen. The man of lawlessness will arise. In the Catechism, paragraph 675, talks about a supreme religious deception is going to emerge in the person of the Antichrist, which will go forth from him, and it's going to seduce huge portions of the world and of the church. Paragraph 2, verse 10, the coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders. The Antichrist is going to be supercharged with demonic spiritual power like no one else ever has in the history of the world. That is the demonic, the dark power. And it'll go forward in great power, and there will be pretended signs and wonders, not actual signs and wonders. He's going to be able to delude people. How he does that, we'll be able to know if you're standing in the light of Christ and have the mind of Christ. And with all wicked deception, everything he's got to deceive the human race, to capture our imagination, either through wonder or through fear, whatever it is, he's going to be full on to deceive us. And he's going to want us to turn away from the truth. And Paul says, all those who fall to that deception will perish. Why? Because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Catechism. Here's a few things from key paragraphs. Paragraph 668, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity, in God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and earth, and he's the one who's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, for the Father has put all things under his feet, and that's the including the destiny of creation, the destiny of your life, and the destiny of the fallen angels, and all the destiny of those who die in sin, and the destiny of those who die in the Lord. It's all in his hands. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history. In him, human history, and indeed all creation, are set forth and transcendently fulfilled in Jesus. 669, as the Lord, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body, taken up to heaven and glorified after he had thus fully accomplished his mission. Christ dwells on earth in his church. The redemption is the source of the authority that Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, exercises over the church. The kingdom of Christ is already present in mystery on earth, the seed and the beginning of the kingdom, and that's the church. That's the church. Paragraph 671. Though already present in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory, by the king's return to earth. This reign is still under attack by evil powers, even though they have been defeated definitively by Christ's Passover, that is, his crucifixion, passion, death, and resurrection. Until everything is subjected to him, until there be realized new heavens and a new earth in which justice dwells, the Pilgrim Church, in her sacraments and institutions, which belong to this present age, carries the mark of this world which will pass. And she herself takes her place among the creatures which groan in travail, yet and await the revelation of the sons of God. That is why Christians pray above all in the Eucharist to hasten Christ's return by saying to him, Maranatha, O Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Paragraph 672. Before the ascension, Christ affirmed that the hour had not yet come for the glorious establishment of his messianic kingdom awaited by Israel, which according to the prophets was to bring all men the definitive order of justice, love, and peace. According to the Lord, the present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness, but it's also a time marked by distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church, and it ushers in the struggles of the last days. It is a time of waiting and watching. Paragraph 674. The glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. For a hardening has come upon part of Israel in their unbelief toward Jesus. So this is the prophetic role that Israel still plays. It's part of God's end time plan that the all of Israel, that is those who did not believe, first of all, it's a small portion of Jews believed in Jesus, beginning with the apostles and Our Lady and everyone. And there's always been Jewish believers in Jesus. Actually, the numbers of Jewish believers in Jesus is growing in a very surprising way, to a very surprising degree in our time. I don't have time to get into that right now. I'll maybe talk about it next week. But here's what Paul tells us, that all Israel is going to recognize Jesus before he comes. They're going to cry out with everyone else, come, Lord Jesus. And what that's going to demonstrate is not that they have their own saving path, their own saving covenant, because there is only one saving covenant. It's the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. But they're going to confess Jesus. And by that confession of Jesus, will enter the body of Christ. And we don't know what all means. Is it going to be all the Jews on the earth? We don't know. Is it going to be all the Jews living in Israel? We don't know. But God knows. Paul echoes, for if their rejection, that is the Jews, means reconciliation of the world, that is the gospel going to the Gentiles, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? The full inclusion of the Jews in the Messiah's salvation in the wake of the full number of the Gentiles after that happens will enable the people of God to achieve the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in which God may be all in all. So it's by God's plan and expression of God's faithfulness. God is faithful to his covenants. He's faithful to the people of Israel. He's going to give them a chance, and they will cry out for him. It's the mystery of Israel. It's the mystery of God's plan. It's important to pray for the Jewish people and that they fulfill God's purposes for them. Friends, I hope you can join me for one more day. We're going to dig a little bit deeper tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.